Hi, everyone. My name is Renee. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at the Vineyard. I pastor our Chicago City campus called The Neighborhood. And this morning, before we start our message, I have the privilege of welcoming some new people into our church family through membership. These are people that have been around here a little bit, and they have said, I would like to call the Evanston Vineyard my home church. This is the place where I want to learn and grow and serve and participate. And so we have the privilege this morning of welcoming them to our church family, which is really exciting because it's a great moment when our family gets bigger. And so we celebrate that this morning. So I'm going to read their names. You're going to see their pictures, and then we will pray for them. So welcome to the Evanston Vineyard family. Scott and Stacy Burney, Imelda Bachnia, Miriam Borio, Sonia Bridges, Stephen Cho, Derek and Amanda DeBeer, Adama Jahate, Dory Dinsmore, Sedona Kinjo, Jessica Coy, Richard and Wendy James, Patricia Landeveri, John and Abby Mahoney, Kyle and Christina Peterson, Andrew Smith, John Swank III, and Janice Riddle. Welcome. We are so glad that all of these people have chosen to be a part of our church family. So I just like to pray for them. Some might be here or in our other services. And so will you just take a minute to bless their participation in our community? So Lord, I thank you for all these people. Lord, we thank you for the stories that they carry, for the ways that they know you. And so Lord, we welcome them into our church family. We pray, Jesus, that it would be really easy for them to find a place to serve, to connect, to grow, to learn. Lord, we pray that for as long as they are here as a part of our church, Jesus, we pray that it is a rich, wonderful experience of healing and redemption and hope. Lord, we pray that you would teach us as existing members how to scoot over for more members. Lord, may we be good friends to each other. Lord, teach us how to be a part of one body. But we are thankful for these names and the addition to our church family. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple of weeks ago, one of my kids brought home a robot that she built. This robot was really cool. It looked awesome. It had all these really creative kind of components that had been put together with lots of care. There were batteries ready to power this robot up. The robot was decorated. It was even given a name. This was a robot that was built with lots of sincerity and care. And the robot was designed to wheel around the room when you turn the on switch. So we have a very attentive audience in our house, and so we all gathered around to watch this robot do its thing. And we flipped the switch on, the motor began to spin, we all peered in as the robot did absolutely nothing. It was a bit of a womp womp moment in the Cunningham household, and we were all a little stumped. We had power, a reliable design, attention to detail, an ever enthusiastic audience, but something was preventing the wheels of this robot turning. Something was not connected right. Something was keeping the robot from moving the way it was designed. And I think very often the same thing happens with us in our relationship with Jesus. So very often we can experience God's presence, we can understand God's character, we can assemble our lives around his commandments, we can pay attention to his work in the world, and at the meantime, we can be absolutely, totally, completely stuck. Unable to move, we can have all the right components, and still something can be missing. Maybe you have that feeling now, or maybe you've been there before. Today is the first Sunday in Lent, and Lent is the 40 days leading up to Easter Sunday. And Lent is a really purposeful experience. It's a time of formation. It's a time where we refocus our hearts and our minds on Jesus. And in the process, he forms us into people who can follow him to the cross on Good Friday and then out of the tomb on Easter Sunday. And so each Sunday during Lent, we're going to look at some of the conversations that Jesus had in the Bible with people who wanted to follow him. People like you and I, people who had lots of questions about what it looked like to follow God. And now Jesus didn't just have kind of these quick conversations in terms of passing information. Jesus liked to have conversations where he learned a little bit about the person in front of him, where he asked questions, where he gave thoughtful responses. And in these conversations, formation happened. He taught something to the person standing across from him. He re-explained something to the person asking him questions. He may have revealed something new that they didn't yet understand. And all of these conversations land in the same place. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me, Jesus says. And so this morning, we're going to look at one of these conversations that lands in follow me. And we're going to look at this conversation, kind of unpack it a little bit, and then pivot and ask ourselves, how do we have this same conversation with Jesus now in real time? We're going to do that together in a little bit. So the conversation that we're going to look at this morning is Jesus and a man, and this man is stuck. This man is someone who had all the right components, was assembled exactly the way he thought he should be, and still something was missing. This conversation takes place in the book of Matthew. And for some context's sake, Jesus at this time has been traveling from town to town, city to city, and he's having this repeated conversation about the kingdom of God. And he's saying the kingdom of God is here, or the kingdom of God is coming, or in the kingdom of God, life works like this, or in the kingdom of God, this is what is important. And we have the whole Bible, the Old and the New Testament. So for us, this language about the kingdom of God has some context. We can see it kind of prophetically spoken in the Old Testament, and we can read the other Gospels and put all those pieces together. But for Jesus and the people that were listening to him, this information about the kingdom was absolutely, totally radical. Brand new. Completely upside down thinking. It's a totally new way of living. And so as you can imagine, the way we learn, people listening to this information about the kingdom of God, they had all sorts of questions. How does this work, Lord? Teacher, what does it mean, Lord? Tell me more, Lord. What about this in the kingdom of God? How does this work in the kingdom of God? And so that's the conversation that we're going to peer into this morning. A man is standing in front of Jesus, and he says this. Teacher, what good deed should I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus says, well, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who's good. If you want to enter into life, obey the commandments. Which commandments? The man asked. And Jesus said, never murder, never commit adultery, never steal, never give false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as you love yourself. We ask these sorts of questions all the time. What good thing do I need to do to get access to God? What ingredients do I need for a life with God? Or the ever so basic but so very familiar, am I doing this right? Have you ever asked that? Am I doing this life with God thing right? We're always looking for direction and clarification on our life with God. And so here's this man. He's standing in front of Jesus. He's curious, sincere, eager to do the right thing. And Jesus looks at him, and very subtly, very gently, Jesus begins to take this man's theology apart. Something isn't working for this guy. Something isn't clicking. He's doing all the right things. He's figuring out that Jesus is a part of this kingdom of God. He knows who to listen to. He's trying to understand it. He's following the commandments, and yet something is still missing. And Jesus can see that. And so Jesus very gently begins to take apart this man's understanding of the kingdom of God and life with God. And this process is very similar to what happens to us in Lent. One author says this. He says, Lent is a time for discipline and confession and honesty, not because God is mean, but because he wants us to know the joy of being cleaned out, ready for all the good things he now has in store. The joy of being cleaned out. I like the end result of being cleaned out, but the process often is painful. It's messy. But Jesus begins the process of cleaning this guy out. And it begins with one little subtle but very crucial distinction. God is the one who is good. You are invited into life with God. You are not invited to be God. God is good. You are invited to life with God. You are not invited to be God. It's like being invited to someone's house for dinner. You're invited into their space. You're invited to share a meal with them. You are not invited to live there forever. If you stay, you won't be invited back again. That's just a quick clarification. Don't do that when you're invited to dinner. When you're invited to dinner, you're invited to hang out, to share company, to tell stories, to listen, to get to know each other, maybe make a meal together. You might even get leftovers to take home. You are not invited to become the new host of that household. God is the one who is good, and you've been invited into life with him, but you have not been invited to be him. Do not confuse invitation and function. It's crucial. It's like Jesus is saying to this guy, whoa, 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 before we go any further, you've got to get this straight because everything builds on this. And so we can't keep talking about specifics until these fundamental things are in place. You're invited into a life with God that's marked by grace and forgiveness, mercy and transformation. And that life is protected and cared for by God's commandments. That's your charge. Follow those commandments. Protect and care for the life that God has invited you into. And so the man is standing in front of Jesus, and I imagine like his mind is spinning as fast as possible. He's trying to kind of figure out, he's trying to experience the process of being cleaned out and catch it all. And so he says to Jesus, I've obeyed all these commandments. What else do I need to do? And Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then follow me. If you want to be perfect, sell what you have, give the money to the poor. Now, before we unpack this, because this is loaded, we have to talk about one word. And that word here is perfect. Now, a 21st century person living in America, translation, all of us, we hear perfect and we think, Jesus is saying, if you want to get an A+, if you want to do it right the first time, if you want to be the best, if you want to be first place, Jesus is not saying that kind of perfect. The kind of perfect Jesus is talking about is complete. If you want to be complete, if you want to be comprehensive, if you want to follow Jesus freely, you see, we aren't meant to occasionally follow Jesus or conditionally follow Jesus or loosely follow Jesus. We are meant to completely follow Jesus so that every nook and cranny and arm and vein of my life pivots from one central place, and that place is Jesus. If you want to be complete, sell what you own. Loosen your grip. Let go of what you're holding on to. You know, in some Bibles, I was noticing as I was doing the text work for this morning, I was noticing that some Bibles like to title this passage, Jesus and the Rich Young Man. Maybe your Bible does that. And I think for many of us, we read that title and we think, I'm not rich, doesn't apply. Right? Or we see that it has to do with property and we think, well, I'm a renter, so I don't have to read it. This passage, I'm sorry, you do not get a free pass. This passage is so much more, is about so much more than property. This passage is about what you are holding on to, what you are carrying, what you have a tight grip on, or maybe what is holding on to you. If you want to be complete, you have to let go. See, this kingdom of God thing is totally radical, absolutely upside down. We often think in order to be complete, we have to acquire, right? We have to make sure we get all the pieces. And here Jesus is saying to this guy who has all the pieces, let go. Live open-handedly. Loosen your grip. Now, we have a grip on things for all sorts of reasons. You may have a grip on your stuff because of the story you've lived, because of crummy things that have happened, because of your own perspective. I have my grip because of what I believe or what I like, my preferences. You can have a grip on all sorts of weird things. You can have a grip on money, stuff. You can have a grip on your plans. Goals. You can have a grip on people and places, opinions and perspectives. You can even have a grip on your achievements and your expectations. You can have a grip on anger or fear. And so when we have these tight grips on whatever it is we do, we hear the call, follow me, and we say, yes, Lord, I'm coming and I'm bringing all my stuff. Yes, Lord, I'll be there. I've packed some suitcases. Have you ever looked at a little kid and said, let's go for a walk. Bring something. Okay, that's like the worst thing you can say to a little kid. Because when you tell a little kid, we're going to go for a walk, get your stuff. They bring their pillow, box of Cheerios, maybe a spoon, in case you need the Cheerios. They bring maybe a brother, maybe not. They bring coats. They bring a scooter. They bring a bicycle. They bring a wagon. They bring the TV. If you say, grab your stuff, the kid takes that seriously. A seasoned parent says, get your shoes. You don't give them a choice. So when you hear follow me, do you grab your stuff or do you get your shoes? You are meant to follow Jesus freely with agility and flexibility, with ease and grace. When you go for a walk with a little kid who's brought their stuff, that walk is slow and clumsy and so terribly annoying. You can't get very far. Jesus is saying to this man, if you want to follow me, you have to let go. And when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he owned a lot of property. I'm so thankful the Bible included this verse. it's hard to let go of your grip. This man did not joyfully go home and like host a garage sale. It hurt a little. Chances are he worked hard for that stuff. Chances are his wealth and his property gave him a sense of security, a power, maybe a future. I mean, those all sound like fine things to me. Most people want all those things. But what's true is that this guy's grip on this stuff was so tight that it made him unable to hold on to Jesus. You know, if your grip is clasped around something else, then Jesus says, follow me, and you can't take his hand because you're holding something else. It takes courage to follow Jesus completely. It takes honesty to assess what we're holding on to. And Jesus knew this was such a pivotal crossroads moment for this guy that Jesus turns to his disciples who are listening to this conversation. He says, I can guarantee this truth. It will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I can guarantee it again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter God's kingdom. He amazed his disciples more than ever when they heard this. Well, then who can be saved, they said. And Jesus looked at them and said, it's impossible for people to save themselves, but everything is possible with God. Praise Jesus. If you try and go at this alone, it's like trying to put a camel through the eye of a needle. That imagery is crazy because going at this alone is crazy. The kingdom of God is so radical, so different, so paradigm shifting, so upside down that you need a guide through it. God the Father is available to you, the Holy Spirit as your helper, and you are walking in step with Jesus. Buddies are offered to you for this road. Do not go at it alone. It will be impossible. But with God, it is possible. God wants us to be complete in our experience of following Jesus. He wants us to follow Jesus with agility and ease, with flexibility and deep presence. And so he's making himself available to us in the process. We so often live like following Jesus is like some weird Survivor show that Christians made, where you have to do it and then do it by yourself, and you have to exist on your own energy, your own strength, and your own strategy. Why do we do that? That's so crazy to me. I do it all the time, but it's so crazy to me. God the Father is saying, let me help you. This is possible with me. Remember, you are invited to life with God. You are not invited to be God. So you need God to do the saving. That's the conversation. It was all about what this guy was holding on to. It was all about what was holding on to this guy. He had all the other pieces. Following the commandments, he made his way to Jesus. He even had enough courage to ask Jesus what was missing. And that's so often the place that we find ourselves. We follow God's commandments. We make our way into the spaces where we believe God's presence is. And then there's something that we're holding on to. Something that's keeping us from holding on to Jesus. Or there's something that's holding on to us. Something that's pulling us back. impacting our ability to follow Jesus the way that we're meant to. And so often, right here in this moment of our conversation, I say to you some version of, okay, so go home and ask Jesus what you're holding on to, right? I give you homework. You know I'm a former first grade teacher. I'm good at giving homework. But in Lent, we want to do something different. We want to do our homework together. We're going to experience the corporate gathering of our homework together. So what that means is we're going to do an examine right now, here, kind of at the edge of this text. And an examine is a practice, a spiritual formation practice, where we sit in God's presence and we ask a question and then we turn to God for an answer. And so I'm going to lead us through this examine. And the purpose of it is not that you feel shame about whatever you think about or that you're kind of are embarrassed by what comes to mind. But the purpose of the examine is to allow whatever is sunk at the bottom to come up to the water. And then in that place, when we can see it on the water's edge, we turn to Jesus and say, what do we do now? So I'm going to lead us through an examine for the close of our service. So if you're up for participating, which I hope you are, can you just put your stuff to the side of your chair and kind of get in a comfortable spot? For me, that is like sitting up and putting my feet on the floor. You can do whatever is most comfortable for you. Okay, and because this examine is about grip, if you're comfortable, you can just put your hands on your lap open. So kind of palms up. This is a way of just kind of reminding you and reminding Jesus that you're available to listen to what he has to say. So I'm going to pray and then I'll lead us through this. Lord, I thank you that your presence is here with us. I thank you that you have been with us as we've been eavesdropping into this conversation between Jesus and this guy. I just thank you that your spirit is here and that you are alive and that you want to talk to us. And that when we turn to you, you're there. And so, Lord, I just pray that in this space, in this quiet, in this stillness, would you connect us to the reality that you're real? And that you love us. Would you protect this space, Jesus? So, Lord, in this place, we ask our first question. Lord, what am I holding on to? What is holding on to me? Just pay attention to what comes to mind, what God might be pointing to. Lord, what am I holding on to? What is holding on to me? Aware of what we might be holding on to or what is holding on to us, we ask this question. Lord, what do you want me to do about that? Lord, you gave very specific instructions to that man to go sell his property, give his money to the poor. So for whatever we're holding on to or whatever's holding on to us, would you give us specific instructions? What do you want us to do about this? Will you stand with me? The band is going to sing one last song with us. And this conversation with Jesus doesn't have to stay contained to this room. There's nothing magical about this building or being together in your community. What's true is you can have this conversation about what you're holding on to and what God wants you to do about it. You can have this conversation in all sorts of settings. This is what spiritual practices are. And sometimes at the beginning, they can feel really uncomfortable. That's why they're called practices. You have to practice them. And so sometimes people hear Jesus or are able to connect to God's presence like a spiritual practice in worship. You might have found that the silence didn't lend what you were looking for, but it might happen when we sing this last song together. Or you might need a different kind of space. On the Welcome Center, there's this thing called a Lent resource guide. It looks like this. We wrote it so that you could take something home with you and create spaces, like we've done this morning, for you to have a conversation with Jesus. So if you need some ideas, grab one on your way out. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, or that's holding on to you, remember two things. This is about the joy of being cleaned out so that you can embrace all the good, rich things God has and you don't have to go at it alone. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.